I'm sorry, Grandy, but how are you? Happy Thanksgiving! Oh, my gracious, it's so good to see you. Glenn, I was told that Lindy took Glenn to the doctor the other day. And the doctor said, Lindy, I'm sorry, but he's not looking so good. And Lindy said, that's okay. He's still good around the house. It's good to be here.
Grandy, you were going to share a Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes, I was. I'm there. You know what I'm thankful for?
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for you.
Ah, thank you, Grandy. Well, that was very nice. What brought that on?
Well, I had a dream last night.
You had a dream?
Yep. I dreamed I died and went to heaven.
Oh, my.
Goody, I had to climb a lot of stairs. And I climbed, and I climbed, and I climbed. I could see the doorway up there. But it was so far away, and I was getting tired, and didn't think I was gonna make it.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I sat down and got a rest, and I started again, and then I got tired, and I looked behind me, and you were right behind me. And you said, Grandy, you need a ride. I can take you on my back. And I said, sure, Mr. Grant. I didn't say Mr. I said, sure, Grant. I'll let you tow me up to the gates of heaven. So I got on his back, and he climbed all the way up those stairs, and we made it to heaven's gates. And Saint Peter saw me and said, "Hey, Grandy, we've been expecting you. You can come on in, but you'll have to leave your donkey outside."
That's. I think I'm going to put you back in your box.
No, wait. I got a song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sorry.
Amen. Thank you, Grandy.
Wait. Are you going to go to heaven? Oh, good. I'm so glad. I'll see you there.
Okay, Chris, I think you're going to come and sing for us.
Yes. Well, first off, I got to give a little praise report. I don't know if all you saw me a few weeks ago. I was just in dire pain. I was a real horse behind. But I just want to apologize to you for that. But I got the little talking with the pastor, and he gave me this book that just happened to fall off the shelf. And this book is Your Mind Over Matter. No mind, no matter. The song I'm about to sing for you will probably bring tears to your eyes. Brings tears to my eyes. But it's about just putting your faith in Jesus. He says, we have not because we ask not. Boom, just like that. I've got healing.
You're in a better place, heard a thousand times, and at least a thousand times I've rejoiced for you. The reason why I'm broken, the reason why I cry, is how long must I wait to be with you? I close my eyes and I see your face. If home's where my heart is, then I'm out of place. Lord, won't you give me strength to make it through somehow? Never been more homesick.
She got the volume up on that.
Help me, Lord, cause I don't understand your ways. The reason why I wonder if I'll ever know. But even if this showed me, the earth would be the same, cause I'm still here, so far away from home. I close my eyes and I see your face. Home's where my heart is, and I'm out of place. Lord, won't you please make me. Never been more homesick now. In Christ, there are no goodbyes. In Christ, there is no end. So I'll hold on to Jesus with all that I have. To see you again. To see you again. I close my eyes and I see your face. If home's where my heart is, then I'm out of place. Lord, won't you give me strength, make it through somehow? Won't you give me strength to make it through somehow? Won't you give me strength to make it through somehow? Never been more homesick and now.
Are you homesick this morning? Sorry for the big.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
I was going to share this morning with you my biggest blessing of the year. I thought about quite a few things that have blessed me this year. And one was our music this morning. And I was thinking back to Miss Margaret, who was our piano player here 30 years ago. And when we used to just go by the hymnals and how calm and quiet it was, and now how lively we are. And that's a huge blessing. But anyway, besides that, God was talking to me about forgiveness things for a couple of months. And I thought that things that have happened to me in my lifetime that I have forgiven them. Like many people, I've been divorced, or I've made mistakes with my children or my family or my friends. Maybe I haven't said to you, could you please forgive me for things that I've hurt you when I've been cross or busy and I didn't even know that I maybe upset you. Or the people I divorced? Did I forgive them really so deeply that I forgot what they did? Then God was talking to me about, how would you feel if you didn't forgive somebody so deeply that you forgot, that when they got to heaven, that they missed out on some kind of blessing we don't even know about here, that we're going to have there? That forgiveness has to happen for your loved ones or your neighbors or your friends to get that blessing. What if it was my fault that my children or you or people of my past, that I didn't forgive them so deeply that I forgot? That would be terrible. I don't want to be responsible for that. And I thought that I had everything forgiven I could possibly think of. But something still kept making me like tell my children multiple times, I'm so sorry for the things that have happened to us, even if they weren't things that I did to us. I still am responsible for everything that happens to you. I'm so sorry. And they always say, Mom, why are you apologizing? There's nothing that you've done that's your fault that you haven't forgiven. Something's still bothering me. So I spoke about it with Miss Rena. She's so dear. And we talked about counseling. And her and Pastor Brad sat with me and did some counseling. And we prayed about it. And I wanted to be free of this burden that I felt. There was just something. And Pastor asked me, have you ever been through deliverance before? No. And we talked about that. We prayed about it. He had me look in his eyes and keep staring at him. And he prayed for whatever was in me that didn't belong to come out. And I believe it did. And I forgave things so deeply that I have no doubt that I've forgiven those things to God, that I've gave them to him, that there aren't blessings withheld from not just family or friends, but anybody who I needed to say I was sorry to, or people who should have said maybe said sorry to me that never did. It's still forgiven so deeply that I hope they get all those blessings in heaven that they have coming to them. That's my greatest blessing.
Anybody else had any special best of the year blessings that they wanted to share? Nope.
I shared that my daughter who had a stroke is a month ago is back to work.
Yeah. What you got?
I came into the church late, and I came in the door, and Jill's going, I thought she was praising God. And I looked, and there's a little hummingbird right over there, and she was trying to get it out. It was so tired, its tongue was sticking out. And so in case you were wondering what we were doing. And then I said, why don't I get a broom? So I got a broom, and she got two others. We tried to get it out. And I put mine right by his, and she stood still, and the hummingbird went on my broom and was sent out.
Aww.
Right here. Aww. Yeah. But how is it with God? How does God treat us? He loves us so much. He don't need no stinking broom. We just need him, and he will show us the way out.
Well, glad to have you. Glad to have you. One of the things, here's what I know. I don't know, but us forgiving other people will give them a blessing. But I know that us forgiving them gives us a blessing. I know that. And so, and I just want to encourage you, if there's anything in your heart that you're holding against someone else, you're missing a blessing. Scripture says you're in torment, actually, if you hold on to those things, and not them, but you. And so anyway, just want to give a plug there. Thank you for Jenny sharing. I don't know where she went. Thank you, Chris, for sharing as well. Thank you, Grandy, I guess, for sharing. So I want to say thank you for the food items that you brought this morning. There may not have been enough food in somebody's cupboards or refrigerator or for them to have an enjoyable Thanksgiving. And so I just want to tell you how much you bless me by the things that you do. This is going to be a great blessing to many. And again, I want to encourage you, after church, just come get what you need, take it home with you. As I said earlier, all of us have been in that place where we needed help. And so don't be ashamed if you need help. It's okay. Scripture says that if we call on the Lord in our time of need, he will help us. And so some of you may have been calling on the Lord to help you, and this is the way he's provided. And so I want to continue. I want you to just enjoy what the Lord has brought to your table. As I shared earlier, Cynthia and I were recipients, had to be recipients for a while because our finances were not. Did you know that ministers don't usually make a lot of money as they get started? Did you know that? And so God was always providing one way or another in order to just to meet our needs. Sometimes there would be groceries on the doorstep. Sometimes somebody would hand us some money. And it's just amazing how God meets those needs. And I'm sure Billy and his family could share tons of stories of how God met needs. But God is interested in his people. God loves his people. We went a little long, this is not going to be an hour message, probably. I know that saddens most of you. Some of you are rejoicing. So I just want to call your attention to a few passages of scripture and then give to you what I believe God is asking us to do. Did you know that there are some good ideas and then there are some God ideas? I think these are God ideas. They may be just good ideas, but I'm going to give them to you, okay? And then you can weigh it and see what God tells you. We're going to begin with 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And if you would, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Miss Carolyn, would you pray for me as I begin, please? So we just read First John chapter 3. A couple of months ago, we were in First John for quite a spell, but I didn't get to this verse, and I wanted to save it for today. And what Scripture says is God is love. Okay? We know that. But more than that is, Scripture says if you are selfish, and if you only think about yourself, and you don't think about the needs of others, then God's love does not abide in you. That's what he says. You cannot love God, and God's love cannot reside in you, and you see the needs of your brothers and sisters and you not be moved with compassion. It's impossible. And so the invitation is going to be, if you're only self-motivated and you only think about yourself, then there's a heart problem and you'll need to address that with the Lord, because he wants to do more for you. He wants to give you more. It's more than about you. OK, Okay. It's about others as well. And so we're going to read some other passages of scripture and look at what Paul says in another passage, actually in two other passages. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. It says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those of the household of faith." I want to call your attention to that little phrase, "In due season, we'll reap if we do not lose heart." Did you know that you reap what you sow? If you sow corn, you can expect sunflowers, right? No. No, if you sow corn, then you're going to reap corn. If you sow beans, you're going to reap beans. And the more you sow, the more you reap. And so there's this principle in God's word of sowing and reaping, and you sow what you want to reap, right? And you reap more than you sow, right? And you reap later than you sow. You don't go out and plant your peas today and expect a harvest tomorrow. It takes a while. So what he's talking about here is that part of this idea of giving to others and helping others is sowing so that when you need help, God will help you as well. But if you are closed-fisted and if you don't see the needs of others and say, "I don't have time for others, I don't want to be bothered with other people's problems," then guess what? God's not going to be bothered with your problems. So here's that. So what Paul is getting at is that we need to have an eye out for those who are in need. The second thing I want to call your attention in this passage is do good to all, say to all, but especially to the household of faith. So what is a household of faith? Yeah, brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, that's what it's talking about. Now, it's good, and I encourage you to do good to everyone. But especially if you see a brother or sister in Christ in need, then especially do good to them, even if you have to stop doing good to everybody else. Do good to them. That's your brother. That's your sister. And you need to bless them as you have been blessed. Now, there's a difference between helping and enabling. Okay? And we're going to touch on that a little bit more a little later in this message. 2 Thessalonians 3, 16 through 13. Paul says, "But we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." It sounds like he's writing a letter to America. Wonder how he did that 2,000 years ago. Now, there have been times, I'm sure, in your life when the month lasted longer than the money did. And you maybe just barely survived or barely able to pay your bills, or your bills were late and you were unable to pay them. Maybe the bill collector called and said, you know what? You got to get this paid now. As I shared earlier, Cynthia and I was not always as prosperous as we are now. And it's barely make ends meet. And we were glad to get whatever we could. At the first church I worked in, I made $50 a month. They provided housing and other things. And I would tithe $10 off the $50. Because I knew that if I gave, God would give back. The second church I was in, I got $100 a week. And I shared this with my family this week. While I was at that church, someone asked me to go to Peru with them. And I said, how much does it cost? And I said, they told me $1,400. And I kind of chuckled in myself, and I said, I'd pray about it. Do you know I didn't pray about it? I really didn't, because my faith was really small. And so Grover Garrett from Idaho, Orofino, Idaho, would call me and say, Brad, what have you decided? Well, then my wife said one day, Brad, why don't you want to go to Peru? And in my heart, I knew that when she spoke that, it was like God cemented in my heart, that's what I should do. And so I told my pastor about it. We had a church of about 50 people. He said, well, he kind of chuckled after he found out how much it cost. And he said, we'll take a special love offering for you this evening. There were probably 20 people there Sunday night. And so he took up a love offering, and you know how much we got? $40. Just enough to get my passport. So I got my passport. Then I began collecting gifts. You're supposed to take gifts to people in, you know, those areas, missionaries and others. So I started collecting gifts and packing them away. The reason I was invited, I really wasn't invited. Grandy was invited. And so I had to go along with him. He doesn't like to be without me. And so we went to Peru. Oh, well, I'm sorry. And so Grover would call me. So I told him, yes, Grover, I feel like that's what God would have me do. And so time would get closer. 3 weeks. Have you got your money yet? Not yet. 2 weeks. You got your money yet? Not yet. He called on a Sunday night. We were supposed to fly out on Wednesday. And I knew God wanted me to go. I just knew that. I didn't know how, but I knew he wanted me to go. So I determined in my heart I was going to go to the airport and wait for somebody to give me a ticket. That's how confident I was about knowing what God wanted me to do. Sunday night, Grover called, said, Brad, how you doing with money? I said, I don't have finances. He said, well, I want you to be at the airport on Wednesday. I've been trying to sell a house in Denver, Colorado for 10 years. It's closing on Wednesday, and I'm going to buy your ticket. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? God wants to do good things for us. Even when we don't have enough, the two nickels to rub together. He wants to do good things for us, but we need to be planting. We need to be ministering. We need to be helping others do what God would have them have us do. Now, one of the reasons Paul mentions this passage is because he was a, did you know he was a, do you know what a bivocational pastor is? You work and you do the ministry. You work and you do the ministry. Do you know what Paul's job was outside of evangelism? He was making tents. He was a tent maker. And so he would He'd do his ministry. He would do his evangelism. He'd go into town. He would preach. He'd go come back home, and he'd start making tents. Next day, he'd go out. He'd win souls to Christ, come back home, and start making tents. And then he would sell his tents, get enough money to do what he needed to do, his needs being met, food, clothing, shelter, and then he would go out and preach again and then come back home and make tents. I'm so glad that after 20 years of bivocational ministry, that this church hired me full time. Yeah, praise the Lord. They had stepped out on faith and they said, we want you here full time. What a blessing. I really don't miss all the carpentry and other things I did. I really don't miss that. I really enjoy doing the ministry. I really enjoy doing the counseling. I'm really enjoying doing, you know, what I did. I really enjoy the study. I really enjoy those things. And I want to thank you as a church for allowing me to do that. Well, thank you very much. I'm not going to claim that, but I will say that I love you guys very much. And I appreciate you so very much. So that's one of the reasons he's talking about work here. He says, I work. And therefore I work. You ought to work too. Did you know that work is not a curse word? Some people think it may be. When I was a kid, we watched this show on TV, and I don't even remember the name of the show. But anytime Grandpa would tell Maynard, go to work, he'd go, work. You remember that show? And so he thought it was a curse word. Maynard did. But work is not a curse word. See, those who are able to work and refuse to work is contrary to what God's word tells us in this passage of Scripture. And anyone who is able to work and refuses to work is living in sin. Okay. There are some people who are not able to work. And when you help someone who is able to do it for themselves, but they refuse to do it, you're enabling them to continue the lifestyle that they've chosen. Okay. And so our government has been enabling a lot of people so that they no longer have to work. Matter of fact, they refuse to work because it's given to, they're entitled. And so what I'm telling you is that we are not entitled. We are children of God, and God blesses us as we bless others. Okay. And so we need to look for ways to bless other people. We need to, it is fun. It's a blast. It's a joy. Do you know some of the most miserable people are those who are narcissistic and just focused on themselves all the time? They're the most miserable people in the world. And I don't have a lot of patience with them. I know patience is a virtue, and you know, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, but that's one of those things that just kind of like, I don't know that I need to ask forgiveness for that. It's just there. So you are hindering whenever you do for people who can do it for themselves but refuse to, you're hindering them from the blessings of God. Helping is one thing. Enabling is another. So, especially the household of faith, help as much as you can. As some of you have talents, some of you have gifts that others in this congregation do not have. And I want to encourage you, use those gifts and those talents, sow into their lives, and allow God to bless you, even if they're not, those individuals that you're helping are not able to bless you financially. Just let God do that. Okay? And the fifth thing, and we find this in both those passages that are read, in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. In Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. So here's the deal. Don't get tired of helping others. Don't get tired of doing things for other people. Just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Let's not get weary while doing good. Okay. So now, application. Right? That's the message. Now's the application. So I told you there's some good ideas and then there's God ideas. I think this is God's ideas. So a pastor friend of mine came, approached me, Jeff Kuhn. He said that Fish and Wildlife authorities came to him and asked him if he would be willing to take any elk that was killed illegally and process them and make it. They will be skinned. They will be gutted. All they have to do is cut up the meat and package it. Okay. And he asked me if we would be willing to take some of those elk to be able to bless our congregation. And so I told him I need to get with some people to see if they're going to help out. Glenn said he would. Larry said he would provide the place to do that. But if you know how to cut up elk, I'd like you to get your communication card and write that down and put it in the communication deal out here, okay? If you're willing to help, okay? Also, if you are going to be needing that kind of assistance, I want you to take your communication card and I want you to write down, I could use some meat, okay? Put that on the communication card. If you don't tell me, you're probably not going to get it. Okay? Some people want to know, Pastor, when did you come to visit me in the hospital? Well, I didn't know you were there. If you want a blessing, sometimes you have to let us know. Okay? So write on your communication card. Two things. One thing is, if you're able, willing, if you know how to wrap a piece of meat, then you could be of use, all right? If you know how to cut up an elk, you would be of use, okay? There may be salmon as well that are caught, and we have the ability to disperse that. So the second thing that I want to submit to you as a church is that as I'm making visits and talking to people on the phone, refrigerators are bare. Some people are getting half the amount of food stamps they got last month, and it's getting really tight. And I'm going to prophesy it's going to get worse. Okay? It's going to get worse. But we as a church need to take care of one another. One of the thoughts I've had is perhaps we could do this not just once a year, but maybe once a month, where we bring food in, okay? And those people, the family of God, can benefit. You may say, well, there's food banks all around. Well, did you know that those churches who provide food banks cannot tell people about Jesus? Are they lose their subsidies? But what if we as a church did it because, and we're not connected to the government, and it became an evangelistic thing where we bring people into the kingdom because they have a physical need, we're able to meet their physical needs, and then we're able to meet their spiritual need. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? So there's two problems. One is that we've got to have somebody willing to head that up. Great idea, but I can't do it. You need to write on your communication card, and we need at least two people, not just one. There needs to be at least two people who's in charge of that. And you're going to say, where are you going to store it? I don't know that yet. But I believe, I haven't talked to our leadership. This was just kind of a new thing for me. Anyway, it don't matter right now. But I'm thinking, you know, we can get a storage unit. We can store things in to help, until we get a place of our own and to be able to store. There's not a lot of storage here. We've got things going on practically every room. So maybe we'll get a storage unit. I don't know where we will store things. Maybe we'll get one of them semi-trailer thingies and dump it in the back. I don't know where we're going to store it. But I believe that, you know, if God is leading in this, he's going to provide everything we need. And so I'm just submitting it to you. And if you're willing to bring food every month, then I'm just going to open that up for you. Okay, we're not going to, and if we have too much, we'll take it to the community, we'll take it to the food bank, we'll take it to whatever. But I'm just going to ask you that you maybe the Sunday we have potluck, last Sunday of the month, and even when we don't have potluck, we still do it on the last Sunday of the month so that we can bless our congregation, okay? Again, listen, this could be a tremendous evangelistic tool. Did you know that oftentimes Jesus met physical needs before he was able to speak into their spiritual need? And I think this would be a wonderful way that we can especially take care of the household of faith, especially. And then if you have friends who are not a believer, you can bring them in and say, listen, the church wants to bless you with this. But I would also like to share with you how to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We don't want to be just a giving agent without giving them the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior, okay? Then we become nothing more than just a social gospel. And honestly, the social gospel is not the gospel at all, okay? But by doing these kind of loving, caring things for individuals, we then can begin to share Christ with them in a way that they can understand it and receive it. Because sometimes people have to have their hearts opened by these kind of things, showing love to them before they can open their heart to Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. That's up to the leaders that's going to be signing up for that. I'm not in charge of that, okay? That is not my charge. The people who sign up for that will be in charge of that, and they will make that determination, okay? I'm presenting it. Yes, Stephanie. Why don't we begin the last week of last Sunday of December, which would be December 31st, New Year's Eve. Oh, the elk. Don't know. Sometimes people get gun happy, and these herds are 75, sometimes 100 elk. You've seen them around. And people just start shooting as many as they can, unloading their gun on them. And of course, when that happens and Fish and Wildlife game goes and pick them up, of course, they don't get to keep the meat. They disperse them to someone else. And so whenever there's something slaughtered that should not be, That's when it will occur. So it's going to be like, we need you. Yeah. Probably Christmas Eve. But we can't let them hang for a few days. So, good question. All right. So, is this a good idea or is this a God idea? And I believe so too. Yes, Chris. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big ordeal. And that's why it's going to be us waiting. Okay. Okay, food bank donations are way down, okay? And see, even yet, that's right. Okay, that's right. So we're not going to get in on, we're not going to connect with the government agencies. This is our billywhack, okay? This is our deal, okay? We're going to, we do want to bless the community, but it will be through your connections. And it will be through your connecting to the leaders of this thing. And we need somebody who has a gift of organization, and that ain't me. Okay? So, just putting it out there, you can. If you need to pray about it, pray about it. If the Lord has already spoken to you and says, this is what I feel God wants me to do, then write it on your communication card and let me know, because I would like to start this as soon as possible. Wouldn't it be nice if 2024 was a year of blessing other people? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? So, so December 31st, New Year's Day, we're going to bring gifts again. And again, if people in our church need items, then you're the first in line. Okay? And then you bring your friends who have needs as well. Okay? So, we're going to have an invitation. Some of you, when I spoke about this, fear kind of started rising in your heart. Did you know that fear is not of God? And God doesn't want you to be motivated in fear. He wants you to be motivated in faith. And so would you just renounce that fear in the name of Jesus? And would you just do what God says to do? Another, something else in the invitation, maybe you're one of those individuals who have just thought about yourself all your life, have not given a lot of thought to other people's needs, only what I can get. Me, me, me. Did you know you need to repent for that? Because you can never be what God wants you to be until you have Jesus Christ in your heart. I was one of those guys that one time. That used to be me before I met Christ. All about me. But the Lord wants to change your heart. God wants to turn your heart. God wants to transform you into the image of God Himself. Would you submit to His will for your life? Would you say yes to Him? I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward.